Good evening and welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guests are Joey and Erica Steenhagen. Joey Steenhagen is an acting teacher, director, and actor. He has directed plays and musicals at many local schools, including Dryden High School and DeWitt Middle School. He's also a familiar face on stage at the Kitchen Theater, where he has appeared in many main stage and family fair shows. His latest project is Running to Places Productions, a community theater for teens. Erica Steenhagen is a classical singer, actor, and voice teacher. She has appeared in several musicals at the Hangar Theater and is a member of the Kitchen Theater Company, where she has appeared in many premiere plays such as Adam Bach's The Drunken City and with husband Joey in Rachel Lampert's Tony and the Soprano. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for joining me. Now, you've both made successful careers in performing arts. So tell me how you got into it. Do you want to begin, Erica?
Sure. I think when I was growing up, I always was a fairly dramatic child. And I think that's usually how it begins with many performers, is that they were always dramatic children. But I started out very musical. I sang and I played the cello for many, many years. And when I was looking at colleges, actually, when I was in high school, I realized that I really enjoyed doing the musicals in my high school and realized, well, maybe I'll go as a voice major. And it was one of those things where a lot of my friends were going into science majors and, you know, English majors, and I didn't know too many people who were going into the performing arts, but I decided I really wanted to be a voice major. So I looked at Ithaca College and fell in love with the town and fell in love with the college and decided to go there, and that was all I wanted to do. And so I auditioned, early decision, and as a soprano, and got in.
That's
and
great.
That was it.
That's sort of how it began. We are lucky that you found something you loved, and as are you. Now, Joey, what about you? How did you begin in the performing arts?
My parents, Heidi and Jack, took me to see plays all the time. My sister and me, we had season subscriptions to Brundage Park Playhouse in Randolph, New Jersey, and we just went to see everything there. And my dad actually did some community theater before I ever did any, and it just seemed like something that was fun, and it seemed like something that I wanted to do and started doing it in school. And then when I was a teenager, I started doing shows with Song and Dance Associates, which was this phenomenal community theater where we did 4 musicals at least a year. And so in addition to everything I did at school, I had this whole other outside circle of theater that I could make new friends and do all this great stuff. And that was my entire training prior to college. And then came to Ithaca College for a BFA acting major, and I've just been doing it ever since.
Wow, that's great. Now, do either one of you remember and want to talk about your first public performance?
Well, I was Crow number 2 in the Halloween play. Great. Jeff Traverso got the part of the Black Cat, which has scarred me ever since. And I think as much as anything else, my drive to be in theater was to, you know, make up for that that early diss that Jeff Traverso got cast in the role I really wanted and frankly could have done better.
But you've moved beyond being a crow, which is really lucky.
Yeah, I'm over it. So.
How about you, Erica?
I remember very clearly in elementary school singing in chorus and having some solos and really enjoying that. But I think my first play that I did was doing Pinocchio the Musical with a community theater group when I was, I think, 11. Mm-hmm. And that was my first real show that wasn't, you know, a ballet recital. It was like a play that we rehearsed, and I remember just the man who played Pinocchio, who was probably, you know, 16 or something. I remember, you know, looking up to him and thinking he was just the most talented, amazing performer I had ever seen. I wish I could remember his name, but he was so great. And I think that whole experience really completely changed everything for me. And I really loved it so much and loved being on stage.
Mm-hmm. You know, I did a little theater early on in my life, too, and one of the things that I really loved about it was the connections that you make. Mm. You know how everybody is this family, and everybody falls in love with everybody? Do you guys like that aspect of theater as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's such a fun part of it, and one that's sort of that's the great symptom to theater, you know, that you sort of have these relationships that are so intense in such a different way from other jobs, because it's a completely personal thing, and it's also a completely mind-opening sort of thing to do, and I think the relationships that you create are can be so intense and are so wonderful.
Mm-hmm. My best friends today are still the friends that I made doing song and dance, doing that community theater back when I was a teenager, and they're still my best friends today. And that formed so much of the core of my social development when I was young, and that was my entire social outlet. And you know, we would hang out and stay up late watching movies and cast parties afterwards and things, and kept me out of trouble.
But it's that intimacy with strangers that it is absolute.
It is.
You know,
and
you have to make yourself vulnerable, too, when you take on some of these roles.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Erica, you had intended to be an opera singer, is what I understand. What made you decide not to?
Wow. I think when I was making those decisions, it was very much a process. I went to school, as we had said earlier, for classical singing. I was a classical voice major working on, you know, opera and art song, and that was my focus in undergrad. And when I left undergrad and Joey and I moved to New York City, that was still very much my focus. I was, you know, reading the classical singer publications, and I was auditioning for young artist programs and really looking ahead into doing that type of career. And I sort of realized over time that I was not having fun. It wasn't fun. It was stressful. And it was, I wasn't finding those types of relationships that we were just talking about.
Really?
I wasn't connecting with the people in that world.
Is it more competitive? Is that one of the reasons?
It's incredibly competitive. Yeah. It's crazy competitive. And I was not having fun with that. And it's not as supportive. I feel like the whole world is not as supportive. This is totally my experience, and I don't think this is universal, but it was really my experience that I just wasn't finding the same type of fun and the same type of silliness and the things that I look for in an experience and in a job. And when I was doing musical theater, or when I was just doing plays, I was finding myself having a lot more fun. So when we moved back to Ithaca and I started doing work at the Kitchen Theater and I was getting work at the Hangar Theater, I was having such a great time in a way that I hadn't been up till that point. Mm-hmm. And I realized that focus on opera was not making me happy. And although I do still sometimes love singing that type of music, it's not where my first love is anymore. And I find that I connect so much more to the musical theater world and even just doing plays. I find I have such a more deep connection to it.
Well, that's probably best then.
Yeah.
You need to have a deep connection in order to be authentic in any performing arts.
She's so good at it, though.
Yes, I know. I know.
Thanks.
Now, I want to ask you too, Joey. Did you always know that you wanted to become a director?
No, actually. I did in high school. I assistant directed with Miss Perazzo, who was my high school theater teacher, and she was terrific. And there was a play that I was more interested in kind of being on the other side of it. It was really in college that I started thinking about it. And it was, I think, as much as anything else, because in college, that was when I started really turning my focus to theater kind of for and with kids. So in a lot of ways, a lot of the opportunities that I've done, a lot of the things that I've done, is kind of out of necessity, that if I didn't, you know, direct a piece, then it wasn't going to happen kind of thing. And so that was kind of how I started getting into it. And it was, I think, also a natural progression out of the classes that I had been teaching at the Ithaca Youth Bureau, at the Hangar Theater, for example. And so it just seemed like a logical next step. And it was something that I fell into as a lucky break, I think. A lot of the things that I've done have kind of been lucky breaks. Lisa Bushlow at the Hangar Theater put my name out there. You know, the Dryden Middle School was looking for somebody to direct a musical, and Boynton was looking for someone to direct their musical, and Lisa just kind of put my name out there, you know, having known my work in schools and as a teacher, and it just kind of launched from there, and it was a really happy fit.
That seems like it would be quite a challenge. Did you learn on the job?
Oh,
there's
yes.
no such thing as directing school, is there? Unless
well, yeah, absolutely. You know, there are plenty of people who have a lot more real training than me, but but the fact is, one of the things that I think I come to the table with is my background, for example, example at the Ithaca Youth Bureau, where I'm coming at it not only to create, you know, one heck of a show kind of thing, but also looking at it from the point of view of youth development, that, you know, how is theater used as a process as well as to produce a good product? And so that was kind of how I've always approached it, that it's not just about putting together a good show and teaching them something about theater, but how are they going to get a good experience out of it that is going to make them grow as people and grow as friends in their relationships, like you were talking about.
Yeah, so you use it also as a social tool.
It is.
It's a great way for people to get to know each other.
Yeah.
Now, I often hear people talk about the challenges for people who have the same careers. Do you guys find yourself competing or getting into any of that stuff that happens between two
creative
people?
We're not up for the same
people?
Roles a lot.
Well,
so.
La Caja Fall, come on.
Come on, we can do it. I think what's amazing is that so many of our friends who, you know, are finding relationships and are sort of out there, you know, looking for their life partner are so quick to say, oh, thank goodness, you know, he's not an actor. Thank goodness she's not in the acting field. I think for us, because we met so young and really have grown up together in a lot of ways, and we were both sort of on this path at the time that we met and have sort of grown up through that together, I think that's been really wonderful for both of us. And we've gone through a lot of ups and downs in terms of that. When we were living in New York, we were both working in law firms, you know. And so, you know, we were very competitive about our law careers. No. But I think that sense of support is really there for us. I think the hardest thing is just trying to find our way in terms of a successful career, what's the word I want? I think just in terms of keeping
a career partnership kind of thing.
Yes, and keeping our household going with sort of piecing together this difficult career. I mean, it's not easy, and so being able to support each other in that, I think, is great. You know, I wouldn't complain if Joey were a lawyer and
I would never see the income of a lawyer.
Exactly. No, but I think that in terms of you know, sort of being actors or both being in that world, I think is really wonderful in a lot of ways because it makes us very compatible.
And it makes it really, we understand what's going on a lot. If I've got a late rehearsal, she knows what that's like, and she knows why, you know, it's demanding and hard and stressful on that way. And plus the fact that the two of us have had so many opportunities, like unbelievable luck in terms of getting opportunities where we're actually just doing shows together.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
You know, Rachel Lampert, we have to give a lot of credit to and we're so grateful to at The Kitchen. You know, she'll literally write a show where the two of us can fall in love and smooch by the end. You know, and people ask, you know, is it weird being in a show together, you know, playing? Like, it's fantastic. It's so much fun because not only do we get to run lines at home, but
it's forced time together.
It really is.
You can also use some of the lines in real life, right?
Oh, of course.
Sure.
But, you know, and it's just, it's fantastic being able to, you know, on stage, automatically trust somebody. You don't have to take the time to kind of get to know the other person as an actor. We know each other better than anybody in the world, and we trust each other completely. And so we can do a scene and try something and not have to kind of, you know, have that level of editor who's kind of, you know, trying to read, is this, you know, going to be a weird choice? Will the other actor understand where I'm going with it? Mm-hmm. So it really makes it that much easier and certainly a lot more fun.
I also want to talk to you guys. You're both teachers, and you both teach in the performing arts realm. Yeah. Talk to me about that. Do you think it's really valuable to have been an actor as well, to be a good director and to be able to teach? And to talk to me about that.
I think it goes round and round in a really great way, where certainly having an acting background has made me a better teacher because it makes me, you know what I'm talking about, hopefully. But being a teacher has been what has helped me as an actor more than just about anything I can think of since I was in school, where if I have got to teach a class, you know, what is it that an actor is supposed to do, it really makes sure I examine what the process is that I do. And then the next time I get on stage, I feel like I've got a much more concrete idea of some approaches and some things to try.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Joey and Erica Steenhagen. They're actors and teachers. And we've just been discussing the fact that they are teachers. And do you want to add something to that, Erica?
Sure. I think my role mainly as a voice teacher has been incredibly valuable, and something that when I was an undergrad and thinking I'm going to have a career in opera, I will never teach, I don't want to be a teacher, which is an incredibly naive, you know, sort of misguided attitude. But once I did start teaching voice lessons and really loving it, it became a really wonderful tool to sort of reach out to young women and to help them literally find their voice in a lot of ways. I've worked with mostly girls and young women in high school, but I've also created these wonderful relationships with some of my older students as well. I think that's been such a valuable thing for me as a singer and as an actor, but especially as a singer, and I think Joey was talking about this a little bit as well, when you're telling someone else the principles of the craft and you're trying to, you know, impose these technical ideas on them, it allows you to look at it in your own realm and say, wow, this is what I should be doing too. When I sing, here are some things that I need to think about as well.
So, and it makes you a better singer.
Yeah,
too.
And even though I'm not doing as much classical singing right now, working on the real nuts and bolts technical aspect of singing has made me a better singer, absolutely, because I talk about it every day with my students. And I think that's really important.
I like that point that you brought up about women finding their voices, because that is something that this culture doesn't even think about.
That's been really important to me. I think throughout my education, just and just growing up and growing up as a young woman, and being in this town has been really wonderful, and going to the school and making the friends that I did has been really amazing. I sort of, as a high school student, had this very sort of strong idea of wanting to be a feminist and wanting to be a really strong woman in this society. And that was really important to me. And I had a really great role model in my sister, and I had really great women who I met when I came to school. And that was really important to me, to sort of create my own way. And even in the classical singing, always looking for strong women to sing, and looking for really strong characters, and creating that in any performance that I did. And so now as a teacher, being able to work with high school students and young women, and even a lot of my college students who are sort of looking for their way, I really love allowing them to use their voice in a really strong way, and to sort of be in their bodies and find their strength in that way that I feel like is not nurtured in a lot of ways in this society. And I think that's really important. And I think that's something that I really try to do as much as I can.
Oh, that's fabulous. Now I want to ask you this, Joy. I always ask people who direct and act, do you ever find yourself, when you're in an acting role, and because you are also a director, having a hard time taking direction?
I certainly hope that the truth is that it makes it easier, because being able to see from the director's point of view, you know, where they're coming from, and also knowing that there are sometimes that the director may have a grander vision that I, in my singular role, you know, as the tree, can't see the forest that they're talking about. And so learning to trust a director is something that I found to be a product of being a director. And also, you know, thinking about, from my character's point of view, any time that I'm acting, trying to, you know, challenge myself and try different things, and knowing how useful that can be a director to see lots of different variations during rehearsals and things. So hopefully it's made it easier.
Are there, I want to ask this to both of you, are there roles that you've absolutely loved and have really helped sort of change your own life? Erica, do you want to start?
Wow.
That have influenced you greatly?
I think
Bed and Sofa.
Bed and Sofa, which was the first show that I did at the Kitchen Theater, which was a huge leap for Rachel Lampert and Susanna Berryman, who directed it, to hire me, sort of just moving back from New York. This was my first, I mean, that's a three-person show. I was the only woman in the show. That show profoundly changed me as a human being, but also as a performer. I mean, that was the sort of biggest undertaking up till that point in my life, and I think since. I mean, that was
really
a huge...
You had to plumb the depths to find that character.
Really
intense.
You had
done so many hilarious slapstick comedy roles and kind of some lighter stuff, and that was just some of the most deep and intense kind of straight-up acting.
Really, so much. And because it's an opera, it's considered an operetta, but it's a through sung opera. I mean, there's no dialogue. It's all sung. It's a Polly Penn piece, who is actually an Ithaca College alum. And it's such an interesting piece, first of all. And it's just stunning and devastating and beautiful. And that moves me to this day. I mean, I talk to Susanna all the time about bringing it back to the Kitchen Theater, but I think it was, I would do it again in a heartbeat, because I think I could bring so much more to it even today. But I think at the time, it really challenged me. It pushed my limits. It, to this day, again, it just is probably the most profound piece that I've ever done, and, and changed the way I am as an actor and as a human being. Yeah.
What about you, Joy? Can you think of any role that has made you plumb your personality? And
one of the roles that I often think back on was when I was a junior in college, and Greg Bostwick directed The Triumph of Love. And so it was, you know, I played Harlequin. And that was kind of the first opportunity I had, I felt, to kind of take some of the stuff that I had been working on at Ithaca College and really try to apply it, while at the same time it was just, you know, a wild, outrageous clown kind of character. There was one scene where I kind of just had the stage to myself, and there was just a lot of shtick to do. And, you know, Greg gave me a lot of leeway to just kind of, you know, go. And he said, okay, at this point in rehearsals, we're, you know, just about to go into tech. You know, I'm not going to laugh to kind of egg you on or anything like that. I'm just going to, you know, so don't expect it. And I would every now and then still manage to bust him up a little bit. And so that was, I mean, it was a really kind of freeing time to just kind of get to explore and experiment and feel like I was able to put some of the tools that I had been refining to the test while still getting to use some of the, you know, just comedic instincts that I've had.
You're able to move beyond the limits, perhaps, that you might have, you know, subconsciously set for yourself.
Right? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's great. Now, before we run out of time, I want to talk to you about the new project, Running in Place
Running
Productions.
Running Two Places.
Running Two Places.
Erica came up with the name.
Running Two Places Productions.
Yeah, well, the name actually tells a lot about what the mission of it is. Running Two Places Productions, for me, is intended to fill a niche that I feel is kind of vacant in this community. And it's one that I feel like I had the opportunity to play around in when I was young. It's basically, Running to Places Productions is going to be a teen community theater for all of Tompkins County. And the idea of Running to Places is not only kind of, you know, coming from the theatrical term, places, everybody, and it's the moment when everyone runs to places, but also the fact that the idea is that it won't have a resident home, that it's going to really incorporate everyone in the whole community by having a show maybe happen at this school, and then the next one will be in the next town over, and the next one to the next town over. And so it really gives an opportunity from people not just in Ithaca, but Dryden and Lansing and Trumansburg and all over the place to get an opportunity to work together and cross-pollinate and make new friends and all that.
That's great. That's great, because you know, so many people are concerned about the fact that the performing arts are becoming almost blacklisted in schools, and it's so important.
Who's got time with all the testing?
That's right. That's right. And it's so important for kids to develop a feel for their own cultures, don't you think?
Oh, so much so. And I think that, again, coming from where I'm coming from, is, you know, in the youth development field, that it's an opportunity for kids to do all that stuff that we talked about earlier, to kind of discover themselves and build self-confidence and take on leadership roles. It's going to be a really important part of Running to Places to have mentoring opportunities, so that in addition to the kids who are on stage who get singing, acting, dancing training, the kids who are going to be working as stage managers and designers and technicians will be partnered with professional mentors to advance their own craft as well. But it's still going to be teen-driven. They're still going to be the ones doing the work. And so I'm really excited to find a place in the community that's complementary to the other opportunities. There's Orange Tree Theater, there's Shakespeare in the Basement, which are entirely teen-driven. And so finding a way to be complementary and give the students who work in that more opportunities and allow them to learn things that they can then take back to their respective theater companies that they own.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk to you also about the fact that you've both performed in plays at the Kitchen Theater in which Rachel Lampert was developing scripts. How was that to create original characters? Was that an incredible process?
I mean, I don't know what we did to get so lucky that, you know, some people would work a whole career to finally get to a place where someone would write a role for them, or with them in mind, and we've had that a bunch of times now. And, you know, knowing Rachel as well as we do now, and you know, with her knowing us, it's just kind of fun having her go home and write some new pages and then come back and knowing, you know, knowing that she wrote it with our voices and our strengths and our styles in mind, is just so much fun.
Yeah, because that has to be a unique experience. Everybody's seen Virginia Woolf, and to create a character from the ground up must be amazing.
It's really amazing, and I think, I mean, we're very lucky in this town to have Rachel, who's writing a lot of new work, and actually whose piece Angle of the Sun just got accepted down in New York in the new playwriting festival, which
really?
Is just incredible and so wonderful that it's going to be seen down there, because that's, I think, the ultimate goal is to sort of create these wonderful characters and be able to work with her on these new shows and then have them
have a life
outside of Ithaca and outside of the Kitchen Theater. But to know that, you know, we're sort of able to collaborate with her, and especially coming from a place where I thought I was going to be an opera singer 6 years ago, and here I am now, you know, really feeling confident about being on stage and creating these new characters. And I think a lot of that has been because of the Rachel Lampert School of Acting. And, you know, I think collaborating with her has been such an incredible experience for me in moving ahead my career to where it is now, and to sort of feel so much more confident and so much happier in where I am there. And so creating new characters with her, and even just at the Kitchen Theater with Adam Bach and sort of in these new roles, that's been such an amazing, amazing experience and really fun.
You guys have touched almost every aspect of theater. Did you ever think about maybe writing yourselves?
I actually, a couple of years ago, was writing almost every day. Actually, Susanna Berryman and I would have writing sessions where we would meet at her house and have tea and try not to talk and sit across the table from each other and really just write for a few hours. And I was collaborating with a friend of mine who actually lives in Vermont, who's a director and a writer, and she has a new play coming out in Vermont. But she would sort of give me writing assignments, and I would try to work on them to sort of, I was thinking about maybe developing a one-woman show and,
oh, really?
And about, you know, my own experiences and my experiences just in my personal life and as an actor, and that hasn't come to fruition yet, but I think it's something that I'm glad that I have on the back burner, and who knows? It's one of those things I thought, well, I'll be a musician, I'll be a singer, and I'll fall back on writing as a, you know, as a second career. So I always, I do enjoy writing, and I enjoy writing prose and sort of free-form poetry a lot. So
oh, really?
That's somewhat difficult to put into a
like
for
a
me,
format,
I find it, you know, not really the kind of show that I want to go see, a one-woman show that's sort of free-form poetry, which a lot of people can do a lot better than I could. But in terms of writing, I think it's not something that I've ruled out, and I do enjoy sort of having that and knowing that I have that journal full of writing. But someday, who knows, maybe.
Yeah. What about you, Joey?
Well, with one of my bestest buds, Ross Mizrahi, who's actually going to be the musical director for Running to Places. Todd Peterson's going to be the choreographer, by the way. So Ross and I have started work on a musical. We're sort of we've talked about it a lot, you know, wanting to create. There really just aren't enough suitable musicals for middle school, for high school, and so again, it's a niche that I think we can fill, you know, with things that we've learned work about middle school and high school shows that we've directed, and so, you know, taking that and making some silly fun ones. So it's still in the early stages, but. Sooner or later.
We might be able to expect a play from you. I can see that
maybe.
Happening. Oh, so we only have a minute or so left. What's happening in the future in regard to roles, or where we might be able to see you guys perform in the next few months or so?
Well, I'm primarily focused on getting Running to Places started up, and you can keep tabs at runningtoplaces.org. So that's running, T-O, places.org. And so other than that, I'm going to be teaching at the Youth Bureau and directing at the Hangar and kind of continuing on that route.
And I will be at the Hangar Theater in Beauty and the Beast playing Mrs. Potts coming up, opening June 21st through July 7th.
And you will be singing in this, right?
Yes, that is true. I will be singing.
She's a little teapot.
I am. Yeah, so that's going to be really fun. I'm really looking forward to that. That's Wendy Dan directing Beauty and the Beast. It's going to be a very different production, a 12-person production, very much in the style of sort of Baz Luhrmann, sort of French cabaret
style. Really?
It's going to be really, really cool, new and different.
Well, we look forward to seeing you both in the future in whatever roles you choose. You guys are just great. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. We are supported in part by Finger Lakes Arts Grants and Services. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.